I want to say a word about our national rep. I went to a couple of BLAST conferences where Kevin Worley was the chair. He was the president of the Merchants Division. And they put on a bang-up convention. And one of the things that I thought was particularly fascinating was that Kevin always brought in a lot of motivational speakers and people who could tell you how to run your business, people who could tell you, give you lots of ideas on making your business grow. And it really was not just for the merchants anymore. It was something that I, as an entrepreneur, was able to take so much away from with me. And I became very, very impressed with the whole thing. And it occurred to me when we were in Colorado and Carl was the representative, the national representative there, and I was watching Kevin a lot. What occurred to me is that Kevin could have gone head-to-head with any of those motivational speakers. He's had several businesses. Some are still active, and he has, I really can't tell you all of the things that he does because I don't understand them all. But I know one thing. He has been an incredible addition to our convention this year. So it is with great pleasure that I introduce to you our national representative, Kevin Worley.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you. Whoa, ho, hey, all right, let's get this mic fixed here. I've never followed a horse race before. This is great. You know what, though? I kind of liked what we were doing earlier over here at this table to my right, the whole, let's go build the federation. Let's go. Come on, ladies. 75 and 70. Yeah. Let's go build the federation. Let's go. All right. Build the federation. Let's go and build the federation. You guys rock. This affiliate rocks. Let's hear it for the New York affiliate of the National Federation of Line. You know, good evening, my Federation family. Mindy, thank you very much. That was very, very kind, overwhelming introduction. The National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day, we raise expectations of blind people because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and their dreams. You can live the life you want. Blindness does not hold you back. Other things might, other characteristics, myths, misconceptions, stereotypes, socioeconomic circumstance. Blindness need not hold you back. We'll talk about that a little bit this evening. But President Jacobson, Mindy, Commissioner Daniels, Art Schreiber, all the leaders of the National Federation of the Blind of New York and our members and our scholarship winners and all of our guests, it is great to be back in New York. Thank you very much for allowing me to come back here. 12 years ago I was here. You know, Mindy, you're right. I get to travel the land on behalf of the National Federation of the Blind, on behalf of now our president, Mark Riccobono. And it is a thrill and it is an honor to do so, as you know, because you and Carl do it quite often. I also have the opportunity, or sometimes the obligation, I guess, to travel for my company and my business and other trade associations. And I travel a lot, and no one in no other organization or association or corporate has the same kind of energy and enthusiasm that we have in the National Federation of the Blind, and particularly here in New York. I was traveling in Oklahoma not long ago, not a federation event. It was a long, long, arduous, boring weekend. And they didn't seem to know what was going on. And I asked the guy, I said, what's the biggest problem here? Ignorance or apathy? He said, I don't know and I don't care. This affiliate rocks. This affiliate absolutely rocks. And you guys have been active in the 75 Days of Action campaign. You are building chapters. I know that you're working, Cheryl, you guys are working in Long Island. Is that how you say it, Long Island? In Colorado, we say Long Island because we think that's how you guys pronounce it. We don't know. But I did. It's Long Island. Very good. It's as I said, it's great to be back in New York. And we know we've done some work in Buffalo, and we know we've done in the capital cities area. David Orocho, you're over here somewhere? Someone want to wake up David Orocho over there? We've done a lot of great work across the country, and we've got one more week left of the 75 Days of Action campaign, and there are still events being held all over the country. There have been well over 100 events all over the United States to build the National Federation of the Blind as we move toward our 75th year of operation. It's been 12 years since I've been to the New York State Convention. I was here once before, and this is kind of a sentimental journey back in time for me. I've told some of you this, but my son is listening on the internet, by the way. This should be fun. 12 years ago is when I came here and met Nijat Ashrafzadeh, who had moved here not long before this from Azerbaijan. And Nijat had been going to the New York School for the Blind, which, by the way, treated Nijat very well. Nijat was very fortunate that he ended up at the New York School because he learned some Braille and cane travel and learned a little English. By the way, 12 years later, he still says he does not have an accent. I don't know if you know that. He moved here 14 years. We adopted him 12 years ago because of the National Federation of the Blind. Nijat says he doesn't have an accent.
Yeah, right. Nijat.
So I say to Nijat, so what are you going to do? And he says, I'm going to go upstairs and do my homework. No accent there, son. No. But because of the National Federation of the Blind, because of this affiliate, this young man, 12 years old, did not end up back in Azerbaijan. He did not end up in isolation. There were opportunities even in this country. He came here on a medical visa for eye surgery. The eye surgery did not work, and Nijat was going blind, and he was going blind quickly. He's now totally blind. But he was going blind quickly, but the INS and Healing the Children had done what they could do, and they were going to send him back. He had some options. There were some other families that were willing to take Nijat. There have been times we wish they had. but they were families that they were not involved in the National Federation of the Blind. They would have set this young man on a shelf, mostly, because they didn't know about the wonderful people and empowering philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind. So Nijat came to live with us. He had a good start because of the New York affiliate and the New York School for the Blind. But he came to Colorado to live with us. His first day with us, by the way, was June 30. June 30. Where do you think the Worleys were on June 30? National Federation of the Blind Convention, absolutely. So he in Louisville is exactly right, Carl. So he spent that week with us and asked several times, could he go back to Azerbaijan? But we said, no, you're here. But my wife has since said, I'm really worried when you go to a state convention, I think you'll come back with another kid. I keep promising we're not going to do that. It was just a special blessing to our family to have Nijat. I have lots of stories. You know, you get a parent talking about their kid, it can really, really be trouble. You know, there's the time when he and David Maurer were out. David Maurer, Dr. Maurer's son, was living with us and working with us at the time when Nijat was about a junior in high school. And, you know, Nijat got training at the NFB boot camp for the blind, our house. And so we had every notion that he knew how to cane travel and go where he wanted to go. And I just assumed he'd go where he wanted to go. And I guess he was traveling in junior high school and they were traveling around. And I guess he and Dave had a little bit of a falling out, as two young men will do. So I guess he said, well, I'll just get out right here. And Dave said, well, just get out right here then. So slam, you know. Well, Dave comes home, and Dave says, we said, where's Nijat? I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. Well, we got into a little argument, and Nijat got out, and I don't know where he is. I said, seriously? You don't know where he is? No, I don't know where he is. Now, we're Federation parents, and if he's 16, 17 years old, and he wants to ramble around the town, that's fine with us. I didn't pay it any attention at all. About an hour later, I come out, and I said, David, have you seen Nijat? I told you guys. I let him out. I drove back around. I can't find him. I'm like, okay, these two guys are playing a joke. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's independent. Not going to worry about it. He'll be fine. About an hour later, I said, you know, I'm a positive Federation attitude kind of guy, but it's getting toward midnight. Has anybody seen Nijat? No, I don't know where Nijat is. You know, so we drove around trying to find him. And here Nijat is wandering through the field. It's like 18 degrees in Colorado. He doesn't have a coat on, doesn't have gloves. And he's still holding a 2 liter of Pepsi, freezing his fingers off. But see, nobody else in the house was worried about it except me, the Federation guy, the blind guy who believes that with good training and opportunity, blind people can compete on terms of equality. I was worried about it. I mean, you know, but we had some wonderful, wonderful times, and Nijat was raised in the Federation. And so when, we found him eventually, you know, he was wandering around a field somewhere at like midnight or 1 a.m. We found him and not to worry about it. But he's a Federation kid. And so when he goes to work after college in Baltimore for the National Federation of the Blind, he goes to rent an apartment. And the landlord says, well, you got to sign this special waiver because you're a blind person. And, you know, I don't want to get in trouble if you fall down the stairs or something. And Nijat's going, do you know who I work for? The most prominent civil rights attorney for blind people in the country is right down the hall from my office. But Nijat's always causing trouble, you know. He tried to get into law school, tried to get the LSAT. They wouldn't give it to him in the proper format. So the National Federation of the Blind took on that case. So now he gets into law school. The guy, he just causes trouble. He goes to law school. And in Creighton University, he calls me earlier this week and says, they want me to sign a, this is a law school, by the way. They want me to sign a waiver to waive my rights in terms of any reasonable accommodation. I want to do this study abroad. And he said, I understand that, you know, they won't be able to ensure that German law conforms to our law, but they want me to sign this special waiver because I want to study abroad this summer. I said, well, Nijat, I mean, it's Nuremberg, Germany. It's, you know, you're going to do a study abroad. He gets to go and learn all about the court system there and about the Nuremberg trials, I would hope. And I said, so, you know, don't worry. Just sign it. It's going to be fine. He said, what kind of a Federation guy are you? What kind of a Federation father are you? I'm not signing that thing. I said, well, call Carl Jacobson. But I think that the fact that he got to come to the United States and he got to start living that American dream, and it was possible because of the National Federation of the Blind, where he was able to get the Braille training and the computer instruction, the access technology, and the cane travel. And to be around people like the folks in this room has made such an impression on that young man. How much better many of our lives would have been if we had been raised and reared in the National Federation of the Blind. Many of us became blind as adults and didn't know the Federation, or we were born blind or blinded early in our lives and we didn't know the Federation. Many of our stories about blindness come from real pain and isolation and discrimination and misunderstanding. I was very lucky. I was born in Germany, the son of an army sergeant. And my dad was a sort of a straight-ahead, take-that-hill kind of a guy. 3 tours in Vietnam, Silver Star, a true blue American soldier man. And he expected his blind son would act like the rest of his kids, would get it done, wouldn't need a lot of accommodation, could just go. And he expected us to compete. He didn't care if I was blind. When I was 14 months old, they took me to the famous Mayo Clinic. And the male doctors were great. They said, look, Sergeant, your son is blind. He's going to be blind. We don't quite know why. Get him a good education. Get out of his way. My dad said, fine. They're the famous Mayo Clinic doctor guys. That's what I'm going to do. And my dad did, for the most part. When I was 5 and Dad made me take out the trash and I dropped a bunch of tin cans down the stairs. We lived in army housing. And there were these tin cans I dropped all over the stairs. Now, 5-year-olds, come on, I don't want to take out the trash to begin with, let alone worry about where all these tin cans fell. But later that evening, this major comes up, knocks on our door. Sergeant Worley, you making your poor blind son take out the trash? My dad, Sergeant E5, you know, and talking to a major or whatever, you know, he said, well, yes, I am. Well, you're not going to do that anymore. And my dad said, with all respect, if my son does not learn how to take out the trash now, how is he going to take out the trash when he's 40 and 50 years old? And my dad stood up for me. And I heard that. And that got into me. That resonated in my being. I realized that my parents believed in me, even those little things as a child. A couple of years later, I was riding a bike in the neighborhood. I didn't see very well. I could probably see this microphone right here. There's the microphone. My step back. Nope, can't see it anymore. So I had very little vision. I have none now. Lost the rest of it in my teens. But I could see a little bit, and I could squint around and ride the bicycle. And the officers in the neighborhood in the army, they said, you cannot let your son ride a bike in the neighborhood. And my dad said, has he hit a car? Has he hit a kid? No. Well, then he can ride the bike like everyone else. If he does, then let's deal with it. But see, my dad stood up for me time, but not always. See, it's the mixed messages, mixed expectations. My dad's all for me. I had to do the dishes like everybody else, right? But did I? When I look back on it, I think, why is it that my brother Paul, a year and a half younger than me, always washed the dishes and I always dried and put away? Always. I don't know why. But I remember saying, I want to wash, and my mom saying, that's all right. You know. Well, maybe it's because I was older. Okay, maybe. Someone said it's because you're older. All right. Because I can't see? Well, maybe. So I'm 11 years old. My dad and mom believe in me as a blind person, right? They love me. They believe me. I can do whatever I want to do. So we're out pulling weeds in the backyard in a hot Arizona sun. We're living in Fort Huachuca. I don't know if you guys know Fort Huachuca, but it is hot in Fort Huachuca. I mean, July in Fort Huachuca, Arizona, it is hot. Let me just say it's hot. And did I say it was hot? All right, just want to make sure you know it was hot, because it was. And when you're 11 years old, you don't want to pull weeds, man. I mean, you know, come on. So we're pulling weeds back there. And I'm kind of sloughing off. I mean, I am absolutely, absolutely not pulling my weight. And my brother, Paul, year and a half younger than me, said, Dad, Kevin's not doing his share. He's not pulling weeds. You get your put. My dad was an Army sergeant. You know, I can't really talk like he does on this microphone. I mean, I could, but Mindy'd be grabbing it real quick. And my dad said, come on, he can't pull weeds like you can. He's blind. Really? This is the dad that believed in me all my life. All my life. But you see, it really came out. He did believe in me up to a point. He wanted to believe in me, and he mostly did. But he did not have that inner belief, that real solid inner belief. He wanted to get, look, it's hot out there for him too. I'm sure he's thinking, let's just get out of here. I want to get done. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time making sure Kevin pulls his own weight. He's blind. Let's get it going. See, this is what happens to us many times growing up. It's the mixed messages. It's not an insidious thing. It's not that people go, I'm going to discriminate against my son. Right? It's that they think, I don't know how. I believe in him, but I don't totally believe him. Because our parents, our siblings, our colleagues at work, they get the same messages, myths, and misconceptions that everyone else does. I didn't know that I could live the life I wanted until I found the National Federation of the Blind. In my early 20s, I was such a mess. I had really no belief in myself, no confidence in myself at all. I would walk into the college lecture hall and absolutely get so much anxiety based on my blindness. That's what it was from. I didn't know it at the time. 300 people in a lecture hall in an auditorium setting, and I would get there and go, where am I supposed to sit? Where am I supposed to go? I don't get this. I am confused by this. And mostly I didn't go. There were other things to do on campus. But then I heard about the National Federation of the Blind, and the folks in Austin, Texas drug me to this convention. And I heard the humor and humanity of Dr. Kenneth Jernigan from the podium one night, and it literally changed my life. You know, we've heard that before in the Federation, how our organization changes people's life. We heard Art Schreiber this afternoon talking about how Paul McCartney saved his career. Well, Dr. Jernigan, Dr. Maurer, and President Riccobono and our organization have saved many people's lives. And Art said how the Federation saved his life. It has been said that visionaries are those who can stand on the platforms of railroads that have not yet been built. I believe that our new president, Mark Riccobono, is such a visionary. He managed a growing NFB Jernigan Institute. He created new education programs. He led a branding project so that we could take the Federation philosophy and turn it into a brand that would resonate for this generation and beyond. Our brand is nothing more than a way to state our powerful Federation philosophy in a new way. Mark has led a number of efforts in the National Federation of the Blind. He's helped us develop this one-minute message, for example, this message to convey what and who we are in the National Federation of the Blind. If I meet someone in an elevator or at a coffee shop, I now know in an easy, shorthand way to tell folks who we are in a few short seconds. The National Federation, and this is who we are. We're not changing the philosophy. We're simply saying it in a way that so many people can now relate to. The National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day we in the Federation raise expectations because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and their dreams. You can live the life you want. Blindness does not hold you back. The National Federation of the Blind is the only democratic organization of blind people that believes in the full capacity of blind people to contribute to society when provided training and opportunity, and it is the organization that has the courage and power, reputation, and determination to transform dreams into reality. This is who we are. We are the National Federation of the Blind. My participation in the National Federation of the Blind fills me with hope, energy, and love because my expectations and the expectations of others are raised. My contributions make a difference to me and to others, and I can celebrate the realization of my dreams with my Federation family. This is who we are. This is our philosophy. This is what we have been promoting throughout our 75 Days of Action campaign that many of you have been a part of. But what about those first visionaries, the first folks way back when who stood on those platforms that had not yet been built? I've often wondered about those people who founded our movement in the 40s and 50s, 60s, into the 70s. You know, they would be astonished by what has come to pass in the National Federation of the Blind and in the greater society. Or would they? Of course, the hardware would be different. The approaches would be different. They couldn't have envisioned an iPhone, screen readers. But even while tackling the day-to-day drudgery so often felt by blind people 60 and 70 years ago, feeling the disrespect and disenfranchisement, social economic disadvantage that they felt every day, they dreamed. Early Federationists faced challenges most of us can barely imagine from our vantage point today. They were so often denied basic human dignity, let alone basic economic security. But still they dreamed of a better future for themselves and the generations to follow. The organization that started in 1940, they dreamed and they grappled for a foothold on the climb toward opportunity leading to equality of opportunity. They dreamed of a day when we would achieve first-class status in society, and we are coming ever closer to the realization of that dream. They climbed day by day, year by year, building an organization, blind person by blind person, sighted spouse or parent or sibling, one at a time, member by member, convention by state and national convention, fundraiser by fundraiser, Buffalo chapter candy bar by candy bar. Thought I'd get a commercial in there for you, Buffalo. Really the best candy bars you can buy in the Federation. Those of you who might be on the internet, you can order those candy bars at www.nfbbuffalo.org or whatever it is. Our Federation family worked at it day by day, issue by issue, chapter by chapter, opening doors of inclusion through which we the blind can walk. This is not just rhetoric. It has been our reality, moving forward, always forward, inexorable, unstoppable, doing the hard work and the heavy lifting to forge a national movement, not just craving a brighter future, but creating it, earning it, building it, often having to demand it. From the very beginning, we worked project by project and program by program to change what it meant to be blind. This is who we were. This is who we are. Some of the language we use to bring our message to the public and to our members in the 21st century may have changed, but that message, that philosophy, those hopes and dreams and precepts have not changed. This is who we are. Our quest to mandate minimum wage for all blind people, developing the software for the KNFB reading technologies, which have set the standards on which other folks are now building new technologies. Newsline, which brings more than 350 daily newspapers and a number of magazines to blind people around the nation and is very robust here in New York. Can you imagine Dr. Tenbrook or other blind folks in the 40s and 50s and 60s being able to pick up a telephone and get the daily newspaper? Look what we have accomplished. Developing technologies to demonstrate to the world what we really can do with new kinds of cutting-edge access technology interfaces. That's what the car was all about. We didn't expect for Carl and I to get on the highway and head to the Bronx tomorrow. That's not what, look, the blind driver challenge was a metaphor. It was a way to explain what possibilities we can create when we set our mind to doing something. It was a new way of looking at things through technological interfaces. The National Federation of the Blind has worked to revolutionize a Randolph-Shepard program, which has blind people owning franchises and other interesting and profitable small businesses around the country. And when agencies say it can't be done here, we say, why is it able to be done elsewhere? The organized movement of ours works day by day to enforce the civil rights protections of so many people, so blind parents will never face the specter of having their children taken away from them just because they happen to be blind. We heard about that today in Carl's report. We'll continue to fight for the rights of blind parents. We fight for the blind kids in spite of some teachers and some administrators who fight parents. We fight for Braille for blind kids because there are dedicated teachers who work hard to bring parents along. And we have our Bell program, which is revolutionizing the way that little blind kids can go to summer camp and get Braille education, literacy, and learning. Always in the forefront of technology and support and education for blind diabetics. Scholarships for blind students, Nefertiti and Brianna and what they said. Kadisha, right? Tell me how to say it. Kadisha. Is close enough? Look, she said, I don't care how you say it, but give me the check. I need the money. I got to go to school here, pal. And also, let me just say thanks to Kate. Kate Mendez, what a great, great job you do on this scholarship program. You are a tremendous, tremendous leader. And always through the 70-plus years, our focus on jobs and more jobs. Because if we're going to give scholarships, we want to hope that these students can go to work. Jobs to lower that unemployment rate. Creating and insisting on services which meet the needs of our seniors dealing with vision loss. We have worked our heads off and our hearts out to ensure that those who choose to use a guide dog are never denied their right to harness up. Never, ever, ever. That's what we do in the National Federation of the Blind family. Someone said earlier today that they had the preconception that the National Federation of the Blind was against guide dogs. And I can tell you, 20, 25 years ago, I'd heard that too. I didn't understand it. I knew a lot of blind folks that had guide dogs. I don't know where it came from. But I had heard that too. And a few months ago, I was speaking in Connecticut. And I spent a good deal of time in my banquet address talking about the work we had done for guide dog users. I talked maybe 5 or 6 minutes about guide dogs, which is odd because I know very little about guide dogs. But as you can tell tonight, I don't mind talking 15 or 20 minutes about things I know nothing about. So I had talked, and I got finished with the speech. I thought it was an okay speech. And a lady got up in the front room. Well, one of the things I don't like about the Federation. Yes, ma'am. What is one of those things? You guys are against guide dogs. I was thinking, did you listen to the last 5 minutes of my speech? That's what I wanted to say to her. What I said was, you know, ma'am, you're probably right. Sometimes you can't win. You know, sometimes our work is subtle and gentle and collaborative, as we always wish it could be. Sometimes, when absolutely necessary, we get it done in the courtrooms or on the picket line. We in the National Federation of the Blind have always had that courage to take the long view, to stand on the platforms of railroads which have not yet been built. We have had the courage, convictions, and creativity to build our own freedom train. No one could build it for us. We have had to build it for ourselves, and that's the way it should be. People who are blind, like you and me, have been climbing aboard this Federation train of freedom for almost 75 years, and I have no doubt that we will continue to build it for the next 75 years, because the struggle for first-class citizenship, first-class treatment, and real opportunity remains ours to win. We are a family in the National Federation of the Blind. This federation of ours is a community of courage, conscience, and consequence. I think it's a community of love. Coretta Scott King said that the greatness of a community is most accurately measured by the compassionate actions of its members, a heart of grace, and a soul generated by love. My participation in the National Federation of the Blind fills me with hope and energy and love, because my expectations and the expectations of others are raised. My contributions make a difference to me and to others, and I can celebrate the realization of my dreams with my Federation family. So to my Federation New York family, thank you for your work. Thank you for your caring, your constant vigilance, your friendship to blind people all over the nation. And for me, I just want to say thank you so much for your hospitality and love this weekend. Thanks.